Please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to read this morning verses 6 through 8. And while you're turning there, I forgot to say to Roger and Hope, I really appreciated all they did as well for the banquet and excellent program. And certainly we enjoyed that dessert very much. All right. Okay. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love when you sent your Son down to this earth to take our place on an old rugged cross and to pay the penalty in full for our sins. Father, we will never, ever in all eternity be able to thank you enough for what you have done in sending your Son and what your Son has done in making possible salvation that is forever and ever and ever. And so we praise you this morning. We worship you. We love you. We thank you for all that you have done. We pray this morning that you might continue to meet the needs, certainly that are in souls across America today. Lord, we know that some have been deceived. Some have yet to find their hope in Jesus Christ. And some in degradation are wondering how they will ever find a way out. But Father, we thank you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And so, Lord, we just pray that we might be able to proclaim that message and continue. Father, we pray for those that have made Christianity and Christians a target. We ask that you might defeat them. Father, you know how to change people's hearts. And Father, you know, we know that even the rulers that you appoint are held in your hand. And Lord, we know that you can do anything. But if it is your will that we face persecution soon, and we see the destruction of our freedoms and the continued destructions of morality in America, that you might help us to keep our eyes focused upon you and not this perishing world. Father, we know that those that do the will of God abideth forever, but those that do not and operate concerning the world system that is against you, they will perish. And so, Father, we pray for the perishing today, that they might turn back to you. We would pray this morning as well that you would meet needs in our local assembly. Father, we pray that you might assist those that have financial needs and health needs this morning. We know that there are numerous. And so, Lord, we ask that for your intervention. We ask for your mercy and your grace to sustain in times of suffering. And we pray that you might help us all to find our satisfaction, to find our soul's needs met in Jesus Christ today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. There is no greater love than the love that God demonstrated by Jesus Christ dying for us. Christ died when we had no spiritual strength. Died for us when we were totally unlike him, ungodly. Some will sacrifice their lives for country or family, but none for those that they consider to have done wrong or bad things. Christ willingly died for those who were not in a right relationship with him and that were opposite of all that is good and godly. Man had a broken relationship with God and all too often ended up breaking relationships with others close to them. But Jesus Christ came to this earth seeking those that were estranged and at odds with him. Man without the Lord Jesus does not know or practice the meaning of godly love. They may have familial love. They may be engaged in perverted lust called by some love. But in reality, it is not possible to have godly love without a relationship with Jesus Christ through salvation. No earthly love compares to God's love for you this morning. There is no greater love than Jesus Christ has for each of us today. In one verse, Romans 5:8, God says, "This is my painting, this is my picture of the greatest love that ever was and will be." So I want us to look at the description of that love in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And as we look at verse 8, I believe we can see how that God's love is directed towards individuals. It's interesting, those that first phrase, "but God commendeth his love." We do not often use that old King James word commendeth. And I wanted to look up some things about what was behind that word commend. Commend has the idea of that which is placing together things or people. Okay? Here we have God, who is estranged. People have become estranged to God. They're way over here, and God is way over here. How are we going to get those two people back together? God says, "I commend my love to you. I will draw you back to myself and put two things together." I thought it was very interesting as I studied in a New Testament dictionary by Vine that he brought out the fact that this idea of commend is actually introducing one person introducing themselves to another person. Okay? Do we have any comprehension of who God is without him revealing himself to us? We are lost in the weeds, folks. We have no idea of how much God loves us, for one thing. That's just one of his attributes, but he has many more attributes. And if God had not introduced himself to us and shown us who he is, we would still be lost here this morning. Certainly, I love the way Paul pens this, and he puts that word, "but." Here is the sharp contrast. He says this is the contrast between those that have nothing of strength and those who are nothing like God is.
And those who even think that they can even come near to what Jesus Christ is, they have no idea.
And what he did when he died on that cross, until God introduces them to Jesus Christ. Folks, aren't you thankful that you have a Bible that tells you of Jesus' love this morning? Roger, refresh my memory. How many times does God talk about his love? 100 and what was it? Oh, 311, okay, his love. All right, it's 311. Wow. All right, certainly that is wonderful news that God says that he has for us. But his love reaches out unlike the love that passes by those in desperate need. In Luke chapter 10, we talked about it a little bit in prayer meeting on Wednesday night, but it's the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan, he reached down to a man who was half dead, who had been beaten, and was left there to die on the road. The Good Samaritan did, but there were passerbys. Who were the passerbys, folks? Do you remember in what Jesus said? It was a priest. And he said it was a Levite. Now, what did the priest do? He worked in the temple to offer sacrifices to God. But he couldn't see the person that needed God. He passed him by. And the Levite, they were kind of like... You might say they were the temple helpers. They were the choir leaders, and they were the people there that assisted in the worship of God. And he passed by as well. Certainly, they were religious people claiming to have a connection with God, but doing nothing to help those that needed God's help. I read a couple stories that were just shocking this week by a former evangelist. I believe he's with the Lord now, Robert Sumner. He told about a 28-year-old young lady named Kitty was assaulted by an attacker 3 different times in a space of a half hour. In fact, the attacker, who was using a knife to stab this 28-year-old young lady repeated times, he got in his car and drove away and came back and finished the job the 3rd time. Investigators reported that 38 people saw the slaying or heard Kitty's cries without notifying the police. They were asked, "Why did you not call?" One said, "I did not want to get involved." Another said, "I was too tired. I went back to bed." A young mother was compelled to deliver her own baby in sub-freezing weather in downtown Oklahoma City. A passerby refused her pathetic pleas for help. A taxi driver refused to stop. And a hotel refused to loan a blanket. I don't know what that does to you, but I know what it did to me. And I just wanted to say, are we really that bad? Certainly, you and I may say we would never be so uninvolved in the pleas of the helpless, But how often do we pass by those that are wounded and half dead spiritually without any hope of deliverance because they have never heard that God loves their souls and came to rescue them? Certainly, God reached out and commendeth his love toward us. As I looked at that word commend, I got out my Greek interlinear and I wanted to know some more things about what that verb was saying. And that verb is in the present tense. That means that God is continually, day after day after day, reaching out to introduce himself to others. Folks, has God, as the Creator, does he introduce himself? Absolutely. If people will just acknowledge that he is the Creator. Has God given us the greatest story of love that ever is right here in our hands? Do we need to get it into the hands of others? Praise God that many of you supported and many of you walked John Romans and got the good news out. But we need to go back and try and help some of those folk. Certainly, that is important. It's a present tense verb. But it's also an active verb. In other words, we can't be just passive as passerbys and say, well, I see you're there, but I'm sorry. I just want to sit down here and be a little passive today and just comfort myself. And thank God that I'm saved, but too bad for you. Is that the way we act? I hope not. Certainly, from the very moment of the Garden of Eden to this day until the rapture, God is introducing his no greater love to lost individuals on a daily basis. God's love abounds to us in his goodness and his long suffering that leads souls to repentance. Amen? Where would we be if God hadn't been merciful in his long suffering to wait for us to respond to his love? Certainly, although you may not feel loved at all times, his love is constant. He is continually saying, I have a love for you that no other person can even begin to match. Satan may say, I have something better, or you're not loved, but this is just one of his many lies. Those of us that are saved must learn to praise him for his continual love brought on us through the Savior. And certainly we need to thank the Lord that he came and was powerful enough and willing enough. I think we need to take a moment here and think back about what the definition of God's love is. Was Jesus Christ's love voluntary? Amen? Was it powerful? Yes. And was it righteous love? It was right, wasn't it? And certainly, that is important for us to remember this morning. And let me tell you one more thing. His love for us is eternal. Praise God. It's not fickle from one moment to another. It endures through the tests and the trials of life. It is always there for us. I will never forget when our daughter was put under a paralyzing medication after a very serious surgery, and I pleaded with God to show me something, and some way I could speak to my daughter one more time and tell her that I loved her. And God began to flood my mind with the cross, with Calvary. I began to see the love of God in a new way, even in the midst of suffering. But I believe this passage in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 not only talks about God commending his love toward us, but it says in that while we were yet sinners, it was not only directed towards us, but it was also that which came and was delivered to sinners. Those sinners are described in verse 6 as those that are helpless, without strength. No strength to rescue themselves. In fact, it is the idea of one who has absolutely no strength. Sometimes we have an ache or a pain or here or there, and we say, well, yeah, I don't feel like I'm very strong today. But this spiritual condition is saying, I have no ability to save myself. I am totally powerless. That's what God means when he talks about in verse 6, without strength. Sometimes we describe that as weak, but it's not just weak. We are powerless to save ourselves. This is the description of one who is without Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. D-O-A. Dead on arrival. We were dead, a corpse. How much strength does a corpse have? Zero. A corpse has no ability to respond. And the worst part of a man without Christ is that not only he is powerless, but that he loves the evil that is destroying him. You know, it's one thing to be powerless, but then to do the very things that are going to hurt you more. That's a man without strength. How often do we long for some cure to a deadly, debilitating disease? But how strange it would be to love the disease that is sapping the very strength from us. This pictures the man bound by his own sin, yet he goes back for more of that which brought him into such a pitiful condition. This means that for a sinner, it is impossible to save himself or herself. And that love was not only extended to those who were without strength, but also the Bible says here, it was for those who were ungodly. In verse 6. Unlike God, sinners. This is contrary to God's very nature in every way. God is perfectly holy and man has missed that mark. I don't think he even hits the target. Some people would like to say, well, they got pretty close to the bullseye. No, we didn't even come close. As Brother Overforth said on Friday night, we're just dirty, rotten sinners. Now that's kind of saying it right down to the pavement, isn't it? That's who we are. Here the lost sinner not only says, I cannot save myself, but I will not allow Christ to save me.
This is because the sinner is contrary to God, and this means that the sinner is not only helpless, but he's hopeless. This person sees his or her goodness as a means of salvation and can never receive the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Why? What does Romans chapter 3 say? How many are good? There is only one who is good. There's none that is good amongst human flesh. There was only a God-man who could say that he was good in every way. Even our good deeds are as filthy rags, the Bible says in Isaiah 64, verse 6. But when Christ enters the picture in his great love and turns the hopelessness, he does it in such a way that we have a sure hope. Not a maybe so hope, but a sure hope. Amen? Isn't that fantastic? God loved us enough to take us from a miserable condition that we were hopeless people, and he says, now I will give you 100% sure hope. We talked about that on Wednesday night. Here's a good question when you meet somebody who is hopeless and thinks they have a little hope. Ask them, how much hope do they have? Do they have 10%? Do they have 50% that they're sure they're on their way to heaven? Do they have 90%? Or do they have God's kind of hope? One that is 100%. Amen? They need to hear that. There is a love also that God gave in the person of Jesus Christ when he hung on that old rugged cross. And that is one who was for those who are hurtful. You know, we may have a little bit of compassion on somebody who is helpless and hopeless, but how many of us would say, no, I really love people that hurt me? No, I've been around a few people that have been hurt. And it's not easy to reach out to those people. A few brave people will heroically risk their lives for friends, but not enemies. A brave soldier on the battlefield will crawl under enemy fire to rescue a fellow soldier pinned down by enemy fire. He grabs the wounded man's pant leg and he pulls him to safety. But Christ reached out to those who were enemies in verse 10 of Romans chapter 5. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his sons, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Oh, I'm thankful that Jesus, he reached out to us when we were those that were contrary to him in such a fashion that we were having enmity with him. And then he reconciled us when we came to him. We accepted his precious blood as our salvation. And he drew us to himself and he says, now you are reconciled. You've been placed together with me. And I love you not only at the cross, but I will love you forever and ever. Christ's love reaches out to those that caused his pain, his hurt. God extended his love to those who would crucify his son, Jesus Christ. And God's love cries out, accept my love by accepting my son as your savior. But there is a third description this morning. And that is that there is no greater love than was demonstrated by Jesus Christ at the death of the cross. Christ's death at the cross brings forgiveness
to those who accept his salvation. He cried out on that old rugged cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Christ's death at the cross endured the suffering of eternal penalty of sin for 3 hours of darkness at the cross. And then Jesus would say, "I thirst," as he had endured the penalty of our sins, the fires, as it were, of eternal hell in 3 hours. Only divine power could do that. And then Jesus would say on that cross, "It is finished." He could say, "The debt has been paid in full." What love. I thought of Isaiah. Let's take our Bibles a moment. Go back to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 talks about the holiness of God when he commissions Isaiah to go. And in verse 3 it says, in speaking of the seraphims, "One cried unto another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And they said, 'Woe!' Then said I, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" A holy God, Isaiah met face to face. But folks, take your Bibles and turn over a few chapters to chapter 53. And I want you to see the Lord who had cleansed Isaiah. And as Isaiah sees the one who hung on an old cross for us. And it says in verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 53, "He is despised and rejected of men." You ever been despised? You ever been rejected? Some have, but not to the degree that Jesus Christ was. The Bible says, "A man of sorrows." Did you hear it in the last hymn we sung this morning? Never was the sorrows and love joined together and placed together like when Jesus died on the cross. Acquainted with grief. We know the grief of a departed loved one. And yet, we do not know the grief that Jesus suffered as he died in our place. And yes, we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Some religions say we don't want a Savior who we cannot look up to, but not that one who was rejected, not that one who is esteemed so lowly. No, we want a powerful. Well, he is powerful. But he's not esteemed in the eyes of men, but he's esteemed in the eyes of God and every person who comes to know him. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions." The Bible says here, "He was bruised for our iniquities, transgressions. We've stepped over the line, folks. Our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and his stripe, by his stripes we are healed, and all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Jim Berg was a rebel. He absolutely crushed the hearts of his parents until he heard the message at Bob Jones University that struck a chord with his heart, that he needed a Savior, and he turned to the Savior. And Jim Berg, as he goes through this passage, he changed it when he was one day studying this passage, and he came and he changed it and he said, "My transgressions, my iniquities." That's what was nailed to the cross. Certainly, there is no greater love demonstrated than Christ shedding his precious blood on the cross for you and me. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I've been going through the blood sacrifices in Leviticus, and blood is in there. And Jesus shed his precious blood, innocent blood, the just for the unjust. Paul Fosmark, my youth pastor, used to sing this song, and it certainly spoke to my heart. Calvary covers it all. Far dearer than all the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. Now that Jesus alone for sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. The stripes that he bore and the thorns that he wore told of his mercy and love evermore. And my heart bowed in shame as I called on his name, and Calvary covers it all. Now matchless the grace, when I looked on his face, of this Jesus, my crucified Lord, my redemption complete, I then found at his feet that Calvary covers it all. Now blessed the thought that my soul by him bought, shall be his in glory on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of the throng, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all, my past, its sin and stain, my guilt and despair. Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. God's love came to you through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. But it's not sufficient to save you until you accept it. The story is told of George Wilson, who had committed robbery on a train, and he was sentenced to hang. And Andrew Jackson actually pardoned George Wilson, but George Wilson refused to accept the pardon. And because he refused to accept the pardon, the president didn't know what to do, so he called on the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court looked into the case, and Chief Justice John Marshall handed down the decision on the pardon rejected by Wilson, and this is what it said. A pardon is a piece of paper, the value of which depends on the acceptance by the person implicated. If the pardon is refused, the criminal must die, and they hung George Wilson. To have such love and to not accept it is one of the greatest tragedies, for no greater love. No one can say, "I have never been loved by God." No one can say, "There is a greater love than God has shown to me." But when you accept that no greater love of the Lord Jesus at the cross, God's love for you will endure for all eternity. Praise his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, may we never forget the depth of that love, and may we share that love with others that they might come to know what only God's love is in a world that knows so little about it. Father, help us not to be passerbys, but those that share the good news of God's love. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.